Well, happy Mother's Day. What a special day to celebrate the significant role that moms play in our lives. Let me state the obvious. I'm not a mother. Yes. But this past week I have been thinking a lot about mothers and preparation for this message. And one of the things that I've come to realize and to think more about is that there are significant joys and blessings that come with being a mother. And at the very same time, there's significant trials, struggles, sorrow, and grief that comes with being a mother. As I was thinking about some of the joys and some of the blessings that must be part of a mother's life, you think of weddings, you think of graduations, you think of grandchildren, and you think of just all those wonderful, tender moments that a mother gets to experience with their sons or daughters. And this morning, on Mother's Day, we have the opportunity for parents to dedicate their children to the Lord, and I just want to highlight a couple of those individuals as we think about the joys and the blessings of being a mother. Luke Norcott, Luke Emmanuel, is just 3 weeks old, and he was to be dedicated second service, but I just got word from his parents this morning that he's sick and is unable to be here. But John and Kim have been attending here for a year, and they have two beautiful daughters, blonde-haired, beautiful daughters, and they were anticipating, not knowing what their third child was going to be, and God has blessed them with a beautiful son in Luke Emmanuel. And Kim sent out an email with some newborn pictures and photos. And in that email, she says, on the way home from the hospital, I told Luke that he can't grow up, that he needs to stay little, really long. Why is that? Because there's something very special about a newborn. There's a great joy and blessings that comes with newborn babies. Take a look at the next photo. First it's, aw, and then it's like, boy, they look like trouble. Right? Carter and Logan, born to Eric and Robin, and I think they're about 3 months old, and I've had the opportunity to know Robin since she was probably in junior high, and know her sister Kelly, and know her parents, and this has just brought tremendous joy and blessing into the Stahl family as they have anticipated, been able to love and to nurture these twin boys. Just a tremendous joy and blessing that is Robin's because she has twin boys, Carter and Logan. And the next photo is of Yuri Alkenberg. Look at that handsome young man. Yuri was not so blessed in the fact that he was born to a mother who wasn't equipped to really care for him. And a few weeks, few months into his life, the doctors began to realize that he was very malnourished, way below the weight that he should be, and other significant challenges. And so they determined that it would be best for him to be placed in foster care. And so Wendy and Noah Alkenberg opened up their home. And that has been tremendous blessing for them. And just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, they were able to adopt Yuri as their son. And even in talking with Noah between services, just as very, can I say, Noah? Noah and Wendy had a stillborn child, their first child. And Noah shared with me between services, he said, you know, if we wouldn't have had a stillborn child, I'm not sure we would have been able to be in a position to adopt a fourth child like Yuri. And so there's some redemption and restoration and God's grace wrapped up in Yuri, God's blessing for a mother and for a father. Tremendous joys and blessings that come with children. But at the same time, there's significant sorrow and grief and challenges that comes with being a mother. picked up the paper this week, and in here was a picture of a young man who was arrested and who is in Lancaster County Prison. Caught my attention because his parents attend this church, and his mother is here this morning. And I spoke with them this week and shared that I would like to visit their son in the prison, and would that be okay? And also asked permission if I could talk, just mention this. Because as I thought about, here's a mom who held a little boy. And there was dreams and aspirations. And there's still dreams and aspirations. It's not the last chapter in the story. But nonetheless, there's a mother who's celebrating Mother's Day, and her son is in Lancaster County Prison. And I'll be the first to admit that I have no idea what it's like to be a mom in that situation. Maybe some of you do. But there's significant sorrow and challenges and grief that come with being a parent. I remember a few months ago, Pastor Jim and I had met with an couple probably in their 70s here at CBC who love the Lord, have served the Lord their whole lives, and they were to meet with us because of their son who in his 40s or 50s is walking out on his family, turning his back on God, and they are just strictly broken over the pain that their choices that their son is making. And the mother gave me just a little glimpse of what it might be like to be a mom in those shoes. But she said that 40 years ago, for 9 months, every breath she took, every beat of her heart was connected to that son in her womb. And as she goes through life now, she said, I feel like I'm back to that same place. I've come full circle. That every breath I take, every heartbeat that beats, it's connected to my son. Because the burden, the emotions are so intense, so great, that every waking moment, there's a connection that's going on in relationship to her son. I recognize that for mothers here this morning, some of you have buried your son or daughter. I met an individual between services that shared with me. I didn't know her real well, but I said, how many children do you have? She says, 2, but I had 3. There's mothers here this morning that I'm aware of who will not be receiving a Mother's Day card or a phone call or be interacting with the son or daughter this morning because of the strain and multiple variables in relationships. Being a mom has tremendous blessings and joys, but at the same time, tremendous disappointments and trials and pain. As we think about celebrating Mother's Day, it's important that we recognize and acknowledge both realities. To focus simply on the joys of motherhood would be a disservice to the moms who are experiencing the realities of the pain that comes with being a mom. But at the same time, to only focus on the lows and disappointments of motherhood would be to minimize the great joys and blessings that God intended to be part of a mother's experience. This morning we want to look at a mother in the Scriptures who experienced both the highs and lows, both the joy and blessing along with the disappointments and sorrows. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke is the third book of the New Testament, just past the halfway point in your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to turn there. We're going to look at multiple passages of Scripture that capture the life of Mary as she navigated through the tremendous joys and blessings of being the mother of Jesus, as well as the significant trials and sufferings that came with that calling as well. The question that we want to answer this morning is, how did Mary navigate through both the joys and blessings and the sorrows and the disappointments in a way that she did not become bitter and resentful, in a way that she could continue to love and honor the Lord? For some of you, this message is very relevant because you're a mom. And you know the highs and the lows that come with being a mom. For the rest of you, I don't want you to just like tune me out, okay? Because the principles that we're going to see from Mary's life in regards to how she navigated through the highs and lows are principles for all of us. Whether you're a high school student, college student, whether you're single, whether you're married, all of us experience highs and lows. And they're principles from Mary's life that we need to understand and incorporate into our lives. Follow along as we read from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Just think for a moment. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be Mary? She is simply minding her own business, looking forward to marrying Joseph. And out of nowhere, an angel shows up and communicates to her. Look in verse 31. "You will be with the child, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Verse 32, she was getting a clear picture of who this child was going to be. "He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." There was a lot that Mary did not know. There was a lot that she didn't understand. There was a lot that the angel didn't tell her about. But she knew that this would be the Son of the Most High God, that he would reign, his kingdom would last forever. Her response, verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel speaks of the Holy Spirit coming upon her and concludes in verse 37, "For nothing is impossible with God." I love Mary's response in verse 38. In fact, verse 38 tells us an awful lot about who Mary was and how she lived. Verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." What a great response. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said." The first principle to navigating through the highs and lows of motherhood or life in general is to understand you and I are God's servant. Mary understood that God was her master. She didn't falsely believe that God was her servant. She understood God to be the creator, the one true God, the King of kings, the Lord of all. But most importantly, she understood that as the created, she was to be God's servant. That she was here to serve him and not vice versa. Understanding who you and I are in light of who God is critical for navigating through the challenges of life. For when we falsely believe that God is here to serve us, to make life easier for us, guess what? When our children are making poor choices, when we're dealing with disappointments and challenges as parents, we can quickly become angry and bitter and resentful because God isn't coming through for us like we think he should. Can you see how viewing ourselves as God's servant is so critical? It's really about attitude. It's really about perspective. Think about this scenario. You have two mothers. Both have teenagers who are rebellious. Both moms have the same burden and concern for their teenage daughter or son. Both of them will be crying out to God that God will work in their hearts, that He will be able to get their attention, that they will turn to Him. But the individual A, who subtly believes that God is there to serve them, will almost be demanding in regards to the attitude of her heart. Like, God, you got to do this. Remember, I've walked with you. I've followed you. You love me, right? You're going to take care of this. Almost of, God, you need to do this. I deserve this. And then if God doesn't work in our timetable, and God's here to serve her, she's going to become resentful and angry. But the other individual will pray and ask God, but will ask God from a place of humility, patiently waiting, recognizing that it's about God and His timetable. It's not about her and what she wants when she wants it, but it's about God and His purposes being accomplished in the life of their teenage daughter. She will willingly submit the situation and the outcome into God's hands. See, that's what Mary's heart was when she said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. Now, honestly, at that moment when she said that, she had no idea what all was wrapped up in may it be as you have said. But she would come later to understand that. Think about being the mother of Jesus as Jesus' ministry continued on, as the animosity towards Jesus, towards her son, towards her little boy, as people were saying, he needs to go. Religious leaders were making threats to kill him. Imagine the mother bear and Mary that wanted to rise up. But Mary lived from a place of, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be as God has said. So what about you? Do you live and parent from a place that you are God's servant? Or do you falsely believe that He is here to serve you? How you answer that question will be critical in how you navigate through the highs and lows of life or being a parent. Look with me now at verses 39 through 45. Get another snapshot of the life of Mary. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Here we see Elizabeth and Mary celebrating the anticipation of their children. Apparently, the Lord had communicated to Elizabeth that Mary's child would be the Messiah, because she states in verse 42, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is this child you will bear. But most importantly, look at what she states about Mary in verse 45. Blessed is she. It's not blessed is she because she's going to be a great mom. It's not blessed is she because she's always going to get it right as a parent. It's blessed is she because she has believed because of her faith. She has believed that what the Lord has said will be accomplished. The second principle on how to navigate through the highs and lows of motherhood and life in general is to trust the Lord in the midst of the uncertainties and questions. Mary obviously had a lot of unanswered questions when the angel Gabriel left. in the coming weeks and months, I'm sure Mary was thinking, now how is this all going to play out? And what about this? And what about this? And if this happens, should I do this or should I do that? But what do we know about Mary? Mary believed God. She was a woman of faith. She trusted God, even in the midst of the uncertainty, in the midst of the questions. Jump ahead to Luke chapter 2, verses 16 through 19. It's where the shepherds come to Mary and Joseph after Jesus is born. Verse 16, chapter 2 of Luke. So they, referring to the shepherds, hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Isn't that a great, interesting statement? But Mary treasured up all of these things, all that the shepherds had said in regards to what the angels had communicated to them. She treasured these things, and then she pondered them in her heart. There was a lot that Mary didn't understand. But yet at the same time, there was no doubt in her mind that God was going to do what he had said. So what about you? Are you willing to trust the Lord as it relates to your children? This morning, after the message in a few moments, we'll have the parents dedicating their children to the Lord. What they are doing is in expressing that their heart's desire is to entrust their children into God's hand, acknowledging that their children are a gift from God, that ultimately their children don't belong to them. They are simply stewards of what God has entrusted to them. In many ways, dedicating our children to the Lord, what takes place up here on the Sunday morning on the platform, is the easy part. The tough part is trusting the Lord with our children in the coming years. All of you who are parents can nod your head. Here again, let's think about what this might look like in a parent's life or in a mother's life. I recognize that many of you have sons or daughters who are not walking with God, who have rejected Christ, who have rejected God, and they've sort of done one of these numbers to God, keeping God at arm's distance. And as a parent, your heart breaks for your son or daughter. Could you understand the consequences of rejecting God, turning your back on God, and doing life their own way? You also understand that their eternity hangs in the balance of what they're going to do with Jesus. The burden, the weight of that as a parent is huge. It can steal your joy when you start thinking about and contemplating all that hangs in the balance with your children. Along with that is probably a lot of regrets of, oh, if only I would have done this, and if we would have did this, and it can steal your joy. It's part of the lows of being a parent, part of the challenges. But what's it say about Mary? It says that she trusted God to do what he said he would do. So if you have a son or daughter that is rejecting God, has rejected Christ, what has God said in his word to you? What is it that you need to trust him for? What is it that you need to cling to him? 1 Timothy 2:4 says this, God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants all, including your son or daughter, to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. It's right there, 1 Timothy 2:4. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, your son or daughter who is rejecting him, God loves him more than you do. God has not forgotten you or your son or your daughter. This morning, trust God. Cling to what he has said in his word. Here again, I don't know the circumstances in the scenario related to your children. I can't guarantee you the outcome that you want. But I can assure you that peace will come as you take up the attitude of Mary and you say, I am God's servant. May it be as you have said. But in the meantime, I'm going to trust you, despite the unanswered questions and all the uncertainties. Turn back to Luke chapter 1. We want to look at Mary's song of praise, verses 46 through 55. Mary's heart is overflowing with joy. This is one of the high moments of being a mom in Mary's life, as she's anticipating the birth of her son, Jesus. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers. Here we see that Mary is expressing her praise to God. Verse 46, my soul glorifies the Lord, my soul. In other words, her innermost beings is praising and giving glory to God. She is saying, thank you, God, for your greatness. You are amazing. And she says, my spirit rejoices, not in the birth of her coming son, but my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, my Savior. Mary was a godly individual. In fact, there's five references in this song from the Old Testament Psalms. Apparently, Mary loved and spent time meditating, reflecting on the Psalms. She knew the Word of God. She loved the Word of God. She loved God. And so when blessing came into her life, she praised him. Now, you might think, well, that's obvious. If somebody would bring me news like that, I'd probably praise God too. Don't be so quick to go there. Because let's make sure we understand human nature. I mean, let's face it, Mary could have said, oh, I'm pretty special. God picked me. God didn't pick so-and-so over here. God chose me. Out of all the women in the Jewish nation, God chose me. I must be pretty special. Let's make the correlation to being a mom. Moms, if your children have turned out, if they're following God, if they're serving God, if they're successful, how you define that in their careers, and they're a blessing to society, and don't quickly assume that it's because you were a great parent. Recognize that it's God's grace. Every day, thank God for his grace in your life and what you are experiencing as a mom or as a father. As a parent, we all want our children to turn out, right? However we define that. It's really subtle. It's really easy to start thinking about when they do. It's because we got it right. No, you didn't get it right. We're all broken. We're all frail. None of us are going to get it right. Some ways, navigating through the highs of life can be as much of a challenge as navigating through the lows. Because subtly we think, when we're successful, it's because of us. Not Mary. She understood it was God's grace and blessing, and she praised him. Look with me now at Luke chapter 2, verse 21. We're going to jump ahead to the time when Jesus was 8 days old. Try to picture an 8-day-old baby. Mary and Joseph were a devout Jewish couple. And so on the 8th day, says in verse 21, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. So we see that he has been taken to the temple to be circumcised. Skip down to verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." In other words, I have seen the coming Messiah. The Spirit of God had revealed it to him. He's saying, now, I'm willing to die. I'm ready to go. Verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, in light for revelation," this is significant, "to the Gentiles," which is us, "and for the glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." Now catch this. "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Do you think that caught Mary's attention? "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Mary was thinking, well, how can that be? He's going to be a king. He's going to reign forever. This is going to be wonderful. But yet, the Spirit of God, through the servant Simeon, has said, "The sword will pierce your own soul too." I'm sure as Jesus grew and life went on, Mary didn't think a whole lot about what Simeon said. But I'm sure she never forgot it. Let's jump ahead 33 years. You don't need to turn in your Bibles. You can just look on the screen. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. There is so much in that phrase. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Imagine being Mary. It's your little boy. You held him. You nurtured him. You raised him. You want to talk about the injustice? She had to stand by while he got beat, spit upon, mocked, ridiculed. I'm not sure we can imagine all that must have been felt and going through her heart and mind. But there she was, like a mom. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. No matter how painful and hard it was, she wasn't going to leave his side. She wasn't going to run. She was going to be by the side of her boy when he went to the cross. And I can't say for sure, but I am fairly confident that as she stood near the cross, she remembered these words of Simeon in Luke chapter 2. "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." And she would think to herself, "Ah, now I get it. This is what God was trying to communicate to me too, through Simeon." And hopefully she would have been able to connect the dots and say, this is part of God's plan. Maybe this is what God had purposed. The fourth principle for navigating through the highs and lows of motherhood and life in general is to accept suffering because it's part of God's purposes and plans. We were able to look back. And we know the purposes and plans that God had for Jesus. We're also able to recognize that part of the purpose and plan for Mary was for her to suffer as a mom. Let me ask you a critical question. Are you willing to let your children suffer in order to see God's purpose accomplished in their lives? That's what Mary had to do. Are you willing to let your children suffer in order to see God's purposes accomplished in their lives? As Americans, we tend to put a lot of time, energy, and money into trying to protect our children from suffering, to make sure they're going to be successful. Should we do this? I believe the answer is yes, and the answer is no. It's yes in the sense that as parents, we should protect our children, right? That's part of our responsibility as parents, to protect our children. But yet at the same time, we need to walk in submission and in humility before God and say, God, not my will, but your will be done for our children. There is clearly a time that what is needed for our children will be that they will need to suffer. And as parents, we're going to need to be okay with that. As hard as that will be, for God's work to be accomplished in your children's lives, they will have to suffer. Otherwise, they will become self-sufficient, arrogant, self-dependent people. For God's purposes to be accomplished in their lives, they will need to be humbled. They will need to suffer. They will need to come to the end of themselves. They will need to be broken and repentant before a holy God. It's God's grace that allows that to happen in our children's lives. And as parents, God's going to work out the circumstances so that there's going to be nothing you can do to intervene. You're going to have to be like Mary. Stand by. Love them. Pray for them. Be there for them. But recognize you can't intervene because suffering is part of God's purposes and plans to mold your son or daughter into what he has for them. So how do we navigate through the highs and lows of life, of being a parent or being a mother? Understand, you're God's servant. You live in submission to him. Trust the Lord in the midst of the uncertainties and questions related to your children. Praise God for his blessings. Don't take the credit. Recognize that what is accomplished in your children's lives, the blessings that you receive from that, is God's grace. Accept suffering because it's part of God's purposes and plans for you as a parent and for your son or daughter as well. This time, Steve and Amy are going to come out and they're going to lead us in a song that talks about walking in submission to God. Because that's how we navigate through highs and lows. Use the song to reflect and allow God's Spirit to speak and to minister to your hearts this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would meet each individual here this morning in a personal way. Lord, I don't know the application. I don't know what it is you're trying to say to them this morning. I don't know their circumstances, but you do. Lord, help them to understand and to hear your voice, to cling to you and to your truth and to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.